The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking levels, adjusting camera, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
And we're going to begin today with a song because, well, it's a Monday, and this is how we're going to begin. So, a warm welcome to Sandy and Richard Riccardi.
Tall and orange and well subpoenaed, the boy from Mar-a-Lago goes walking, and when he passes, each one he passes goes. At his beach house residential, they found 12 boxes presidential. So when he passes, each one he passes goes.
Seriously? You took classified nuclear documents to your house?
Oh, will he finally get busted?
Yeah.
Central Records Act. Which federal prison will take him?
Any of them.
Espionage Act. How will he look with no spray tan?
I want to know the answer to that question.
While Melania Christ, don't bury me in sand traps on hole number 3. How much longer can he folly? He'll soon be running like Josh Hawley from his own Mar-a-Lago by the sea. Oh, how the ketchup is flying. Or flushed them down his golden potty at his own Mar-a-Lago by the sea. Please let it be.
Oh, yeah.
Verdict guilty.
Oh, yeah, baby. That is Sandy and Richard. What's their last name? Riccardi. Yes, a parody of the girl from Ipanema. What does it say, boy from Ipanema? It was a girl from Ipanema. Anyway, there you have it. Good way to kick off a week. I thought that was hysterical. These two, there's another couple, and I don't know anything about them, who do these song parodies. The other one is a man-woman camera parody, and this is Sandy and Richard Riccardi. And the story I've made up about both of those couples is that they both live in New York, and they are, you know, they work on Broadway, and they do these song parodies in their spare time. I have no idea if that's the case, and I always group those two together because they're these husband and wife teams, I think. Anyway, they're talented and creative, and they're awesome. Chat room, I have an update for you. Our friend Joy is not here today, and I got a phone call just a couple of minutes before going on the air from her husband, Tom. Joy's in the hospital. You know, she was in the chat room for the last couple of weeks worrying that she had some kind of cancer or something, that she wasn't feeling well. Well, it turns out she's got hepatitis and liver failure. So Tom thinks she'll be in the hospital for another few days. I'll put in the chat room, rather than put it out over the air, what hospital she's in. She's in Santa Cruz, California, if anybody wants to, check in with her. We send her, obviously, our thoughts and well wishes and healing, thoughts. And those of you who pray, yes, do pray. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're not kids around these parts anymore. So I hate it when I hear things like this. For someone who said to me, I hope you're feeling better. I'm fine. You know, my ribs, my two cracked ribs are starting to do better. By the way, this, you know, marijuana smoker who never saw the pain relief properties of the weed can definitely attest to the fact that CBD works. Because I was in so much pain from these two cracked ribs. And I'll tell you something, I've been, feeling fine. It's fucking with my head. But no, the CBD has really helped with the pain mitigation. I never, you know, knew that it was legit. I figured it had to be because so many people swear by it. But now I can attest to it too. It really works to kill the pain. Then again, I've got a dear friend who just had horrible, like, soldier clavicle surgery, really the second time. And she said CBD is not enough for her. So I guess it's all relative. All relative. All right. So that's that. And yes, I'm just looking at the how did my ribs get cracked? You know, here's the thing, Karate Joe. They shouldn't have. I just leaned over the arm on my chair here in the studio. I leaned over to reach something that I couldn't easily reach. And so I, you know, I guess I leaned into the arm on my chair, which for normal people, it wouldn't crack your ribs. But these are the ribs that 6 years ago were not broken, but were stretched to remove my cancer lung tissue. The sixth anniversary of my cancer surgery is 2 weeks from tomorrow. So the thing is, you know, it was the same kind of pain that I felt after the surgery. Well, obviously those ribs were messed with because again, you know, I had the robotic surgery where they don't cut you completely open and use the chest spreaders, but they still have to make a little passageway between two ribs to get the diseased lung tissue that they excised. So though that's what they stretched. So I'm guessing those ribs were weakened. Anyway, here I am doing much better. And yeah. So Caroline, using the gummies to help lift my spirits and I'm less depressed. It'll probably work for that too. But I do know now empirically that CBD does work for pain relief, at least for cracked ribs. All right. So, and then just for those of you, you know, following my eye travails, I've got two appointments this week. Tomorrow, I go to the regular optometrist because my eyesight has deteriorated so much in the last year that my regular glasses don't really work anymore. These that I'm wearing right now are like high strength reading glasses. God, I feel so old because I really can't see. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, if you're not a regular listener, you may not have heard that I went to an ophthalmologist a week or two ago because my eyesight has been so weird lately. And it turns out I have something called a macular pucker, I do, according to this doctor, have a bit of macular degeneration. Lucky me. Macular pucker is different in that there's like a membrane that sits at the back of your eye and it's supposed to lay flat against the retina. And sometimes, as the name implies, it puckers, it lifts. And I don't have it in here, but they did a scan of my retina and you can see it where the thing puckers. And the only way to fix it is surgery. And it's not easy surgery like I was hoping. I thought it was a cataract. And that they can remove easily. It's 10 minutes in and out and you're good to go. This is not that. So I'm going to see the retinal specialist on Thursday. And then I'm going to get another phone consultation with my primary care physician tomorrow morning because I want to get a second opinion. So I want to go to Bascom Palmer Eye Institute. And of course, they're not on my insurance plan. So I'm going to talk to my doctor tomorrow to have her call to try to get clearance so I can get a second opinion from them. This is all because we have a bullshit system of health insurance in this country. It's not even health care. It's our health insurance system that's so screwed up. We have good health care if you can get it. The problem is access. Now, I know technically we all have access. I mean, the hospitals are there. You could walk in the door. The question is, can you pay for it? And the answer is usually no. And that's our problem with insurance companies these days. So, in fact, Gary in the chat room said, and Nicole, you need to get checked for osteoporosis. I know I do. Here's the problem. There's always a problem, isn't there? And it's always with insurance. I had an appointment to get another bone density scan, but insurance only covers it every 2 years. I had one last year that showed osteopenia because, you know, that's the age we're at, right? And the insurance won't cover another one until next year. So if I want one, then, yeah. And if I want one, then I get to pay for it out of pocket. So I guess tomorrow morning when I talk to the doctor, I'll ask her if she can, you know, work some magic with the insurance company to get them to pay for another bone density scan. It's ridiculous. You pay the premiums every month and then, you know, they still hold your life or death choices in their hands. They, meaning the insurance companies. If we had a single payer Medicare for all system, this would not be an issue. And thankfully, I'm still too, well, thankfully or not, I'm still too young for Medicare. But if I were on Medicare, you know, what really sucks is the only Medicare I'd be able to afford right now is Medicare Advantage, which is what they're pushing on you on television every single day. And, you know, that comes with problems because a Medicare Advantage plan is just like a regular health insurance policy, except they get paid through Medicare, but the insurance company still can ration your health care. They can decide what procedures and what medications you can and can't get. And that's, you know, that's a problem. I'm on a listserv, I've talked about it before, where there are a few people who are on traditional Medicare with Medigap policies that cover the 20% gap. And again, if it's traditional Medicare, it covers everything. There is no getting pre-clearance or no worries about it. It's paid for. When you have a Medicare Advantage plan, you for all intents and purposes have a for-profit health insurance policy, which means your health insurance company, who are not medical doctors, can decide what services and medications you are eligible for and what you're not. That's why we don't want to do Medicare Advantage. Sometimes we have no choice because the economics control it. And they're pushing it big time. Did you notice now they're calling it Medicare Part C. There is no Medicare Part C. Medicare Advantage is a sham. But it's a sham that so many of us have to sign on to because it's all we can afford. The fight continues. So there's that. All right. Well, welcome to a Monday. It is the Monday after, you know, the world exploded with the news. It's actually, today is 1 week since the raid on Mar-a-Lago and the raid. I'm even using the verbiage now that I don't want to use, frankly, because I think it's not right. I guess anytime the FBI serves or executes a search warrant, it's a raid. If we use it in those terms, then yeah, it was a raid. But they did it by giving warning, by negotiating with Trump for months for the things, the documents that his lawyer had sworn, signed, that they had turned over all classified documents that were at Mar-a-Lago, which we know now is just
bullshit.
It's simply not true. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Voice. It when it's not true, it's
bullshit. Them's the brakes.
what was that?
Them's the brakes.
Oh, them's the brakes. I gotcha. Okay, so anyway, we know it was bullshit. But then, you know, depending where you from what outlet you get your news, you're getting a different story. For some reason, the right wing. I don't even know what to call them. They're certainly not news people. The right-wing personalities on the Fox Not News channel, on Newsmax, and wherever else they hang out, are still, they're ratcheting up tensions. They're trying to get people to turn on the government. They've turned on the government. You know, the Republican Party was always put themselves out there as the law and order party, right? No, they're not. No, they're not. They are. They are when it suits their purposes. You know, I want to play this little clip from CNN this morning. But this is what happens. You remember some time ago, I don't think I saved this audio just because I can't stand the sound of his voice. But Donald Trump, I did pull audio this morning in which he was talking about, making the consequences steeper for releasing classified information. In fact, he took the law that was already on the books, the Presidential Records Act, and added another element saying if you release classified or steal classified information, it makes it a felony punishable by prison time. And he did this because he thought he was going to get Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton really didn't do anything wrong. She was, I was going to say stupid, but that's not the word I'm looking for. She was less than smart about some of the protocols when it comes to electronic communications, digital email and such. But, and to hear them talk, oh, she acid washed the hard drive. Well, no, she didn't. The IT person ran it through a program to clear it out. But they're talking about her pouring bleach on a hard drive, which is not what happened. But they are all still making excuses for Trump. It's astounding, but this is what they do. All right, so here is this CNN segment in which they talk about the Republicans just bending over backwards to make excuses for Trump yet again.
Let's move on.
So Donald Trump and his allies coming up with these creative and evolving defenses, many of which we've gone over there, and many of them are not rooted in fact. The Heritage Foundation argues a president can declassify sensitive documents in his or her own mind. A former White House advisor says the documents shouldn't have been classified in the first place.
Uh-huh.
Yep. The reason why you declassify stuff you don't need to classify is the American public need to know. It'll keep us out of wars, and it'll keep our jobs here if you do that. Amen.
A Trump ally also suggested that Trump was simply taking his work home with him.
This is from President Trump's office. It just came in a few minutes ago. As we can all relate to everyone, everyone ends up having to bring home their work. From time to time, American presidents are no different.
Then, of course, the unfounded and baseless suggestion the FBI had planted evidence.
That's amazing.
They didn't allow anybody on the Trump side into Mar-a-Lago, so we have no idea whether or not they planted evidence.
Yes, that's exactly right.
No evidence of that whatsoever. There were also claims about the deep state or worse. There were claims to the effect that everyone did it, including former President Obama, which the National Archives refuted. And then, of course, there were comments about Hillary Clinton. Over the last 24 hours, some Republicans evoked a kind of Richard Nixon defense.
Where if the president does
famously,
it, it's not illegal?
President Nixon said, if the president does it, then it is not illegal.
Right.
Is that not truly the standard when it comes to classified documents?
Others, including Republican Chris Stewart of Utah, have said that there isn't just enough information yet to rid conservatives of their skepticism of the Justice Department.
Look at the premise of most of your questions. Was it nuclear?
Was it, heck, maybe it was aliens. That's the point. We don't know. We're asking them to tell us. And until they tell us, then we're going to have questions like this, and the presumption is going to be that it is political.
Well, look, what we do know is there was an executed search warrant signed off on by a judge. And according to reporting this morning, there was a Trump lawyer that said there were no more classified papers at Mar-a-Lago. But based on the newly released documents from their search, it seems there very likely were.
You know, it's just amazing to me. It's not surprising. It's not shocking. It's just mind-blowing how they are carrying water for that con man. Still, to this day, they just don't let up. Even, you know, more on death sentence. Yeah, the governor down here in Florida was in Arizona over the weekend shilling for candidates who supported the overturning the election. In fact, here's DeSantis last night. I'm sorry to do this to you, but DeSantis last night in Arizona, he actually said this shit.
The raid at Mar-a-Lago. And I'm just trying to, remember, maybe someone here can remind me about when they did a search warrant at Hillary's house in Chappaqua when she had a rogue server and she was laundering classified information.
She wasn't, though. She wasn't.
I don't remember them doing that. I do remember them manufacturing a false conspiracy theory about Russia collusion.
It was nothing false about it.
That was not true. That was an abuse of power.
I just need you to shut the fuck up because nobody yes, you bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch.
Bow, bow.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
That's the nice thing about doing the show this way. I can shut him the fuck up whenever I want him to. But wait, tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, is the primary here in Florida. So, look, I'm talking to two audiences here. I'm talking to my fellow Floridians who must vote against this monster at all costs. And I'm talking to the rest of the country to let you know that this man is abominable. He's not a snowman. He's not cute. He's frightening. So here is, we have a teacher shortage. Not only here in Florida, but around the country, but specifically here in Florida, for good reason. You know what this governor has done, right? You know what he has put in place, like the don't say gay bill. Basically, it's not precluding you from saying gay, the word gay. It's telling teachers that in your classroom, you cannot, especially up to grade four, I believe, you cannot talk about same-sex parent households. Even if a child in your classroom has two moms or two dads, you can't go there. It's there's so much more. I mean, I have his chilling policies. He fired a duly elected state attorney in Hillsborough County, that's Tampa Bay area, because this state attorney said he would not prosecute people who might get an abortion or help someone get an abortion. And so Ron DeSantis fired him and replaced him. This was another elected official. He doesn't have that responsibility. The list is too long, but before next Tuesday, it doesn't really matter. That's the primary. Before the election day in November, and certainly before next 2 years from now when the idiot runs for president, I will do a complete roundup of some of the stuff that Ron DeSantis has done. But so we have this teacher shortage. Teachers are leaving the profession here in Florida because of the restrictions he's put on what they can and can't do in the classroom. In fact, I played something for you last week. I don't know if I have it here or not anymore. It was about this new civics
curriculum that he is implementing. He's the governor. He's not an educator. But it basically, it whitewashes history. And there was a segment that I had up here. If I can find it, I'll play it for you later. From teachers who were in on this training on this new curriculum. Here it is. All right. I know I played it already, but you got to hear it anyway. So listen to this. Let me see if I can. Here we go.
New training for civics education is sounding an alarm for some educators.
What they did was present a single perspective as the only one, the correct one. They cherry-picked evidence.
Justin Vogel, who will start his 12th year teaching in St. Johns County, was at one of these trainings launched by the governor as part of his Civics Literacy Excellence Initiative.
Oh, yeah. State of Florida has funded a three-day Civics Excellence Teacher Training, and we have the first 2,500 teachers that are going through that now.
Barbara Siegel teaches in Broward County.
That's where I live.
And also attended the training. Both educators looking to deepen their knowledge for their classrooms, until they say they were shocked to learn what they were expected to teach their students.
As educators, we don't necessarily tell them how to think. We give them all the evidence and we allow them to come up with their own conclusions. And that's something that wasn't presented at this workshop. They told us what to think and what our opinions were, and it was very unsettling.
They say while some parts of the training were factual, some material was very concerning. For example, NBC News obtained the slides for the presentation from the Florida Board of Education. Here are some slides the teachers say raised red flags.
It's not a misconception.
One, titled Opposition to Slavery, worried Barbara and Justin that it could become very easy for new educators to miss the nuances of history.
Putting myself in the shoes of a first or second year teacher, seeing this slide, it's very easy to say that George Washington and TJ were both very anti-slavery.
Right.
They owned slaves.
They
did everything they could, notwithstanding the fact they both owned slaves.
All right. So that's the gist of it. I'll post the whole clip on the blog where I post today's show. It'll be at NicoleSandler.com/8-15-22 because it is, it's Orwellian. But this is Ron DeSantis this weekend saying that, yes, we have a teacher shortage here in Florida, but I know, hey, if you're a veteran, if you fought in a war, if you killed some, you know, dirty Arabs, then I'll make you a teacher in Florida. I kid you not. You don't even need a college degree. I'm not making this up. I'm not exaggerating. Listen to the man, if you can call him that, say it himself.
Governor Ron DeSantis.
DeSantis.
We begin the new school year. Florida's leading the way by bringing some of the best, the brightest, and the bravest among us into our classrooms
through
a new program that helps military veterans become teachers. If you served in the military for at least 4 years, were honorably discharged, have taken 60 college credits,
and passed
a subject area exam, we want you to be able to teach Florida students.
60
Our veterans
college
have a wealth of
credits?
Knowledge and experience they can bring to bear in the classroom. And with this innovative approach, they will be able to do so for 5 years with a temporary certification as they work towards their degree. For too long, the requirements to be a teacher have been too rigid, with union bosses insisting that all educators get certain credentials that often have little impact on teaching performance. Every morning, our students recite the Pledge of Allegiance while looking at the Star-Spangled Banner. And it's fitting that the teacher in the classroom is somebody who took an oath and put his or her life on the line to preserve, protect, and defend our flag and the freedom it represents.
Oh, my God.
From devil dogs to salty dogs and doughboys to fly boys, we respect our veterans and know that they have a lot to offer. Thanks so much, and God bless.
Holy shit. So, yes. So, Lauren in the chat room says, I know you need a master's to get a full-time teaching job in New York State. I went through the substitute teacher training program here in Broward County, I want to say 5 years ago, and you had to be a college graduate for that. But this moron is saying, hey, if you fought in a war and you have 60 college credits, I don't even think that gets you an associate's degree. Then you can teach. Sorry, I don't want them teaching my kids. Thank God I hate to say it like this, but thank God my kid's out of school and I don't have a child in school right now. I got to play for you. I'm going to play for you two more things and then we'll get our guest on the line. There's an ad currently running. Now, you know, our primary here in Florida is a week from tomorrow. Democrats are choosing between Charlie Crist and Nikki Fried. Charlie Crist, to his credit, is running a lot of ads. He's obviously done well in fundraising, and he's targeting, in most of them, DeSantis, not Fried. The PACs are fighting it out between Fried and Crist. But Charlie Crist is doing the smart thing and going after DeSantis. You want to see the ad that DeSantis is running ad nauseum? And I specifically used that phrase, ad nauseum, because this will make you nauseous. If you just ate lunch or if you're out west, breakfast, I'm sorry, I apologize. This may cause you to lose what you just ate. But I got you, you have to hear, because they run it constantly. It runs everywhere. Well, you know, we watch MSNBC and CNN. Don't watch Fox, but I think it's running on all of those channels. All right, I'm warning you. Warning, there are nauseating statements in this ad that may just cause you to puke. So be prepared. Here we go.
Dear Governor DeSantis, I wanted to write and thank you for working so hard for the citizens of Florida.
Oh, please.
Dear Governor DeSantis, I've never written a political leader.
But I'm writing to express my appreciation for keeping us Floridians free and thriving.
A governor who says what he is going to do and then does it. Oh,
I realize that the right thing is not always the easy thing.
Without your leadership, we wouldn't have been able to stay open.
Oh, please.
Because of you, my child has thrived through this pandemic.
The monoclonal antibodies saved my mother's life.
I'm 11 years old and I'm glad
oh, you poor
I could
child.
Go to school.
Watching you beat back the woke liberal media
oh, fuck you.
Makes me so proud to be a Floridian.
Oh, so
freedom
proud.
To live.
Freedom to go to school.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Thank you.
Thank you
for
freedom.
Florida free.
Okay, now you know that I'm always talking about
fighting the good fight.
Opposite world. Freedom, you have the freedom to be put down. You have the freedom to be required to carry your rapist's spawn to term. You have the freedom to be lied about when you go to school and you think you're learning American history. The freedom to be shat upon. That's not freedom. But I gotta, there, you know, people have short memories. This guy was a backbencher congressman who nobody ever heard of until the orange one plucked him out of obscurity and started singing his praises. He was a backbencher of a congressman from who knows where in Florida, certainly not in the populous regions of Florida. And this is the ad that he ran, also ad nauseum, when he was first running for governor. And it's disgusting. And those of you who are just listening, who are just hearing the audio stream, listen, when he talks about his little kids, they're in the ad. He's whoring his children out for the former guy.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron DeSantis, is endorsed by President Trump, but he's also an amazing dad. Ron loves playing with the kids.
They're building blocks.
He reads stories.
Then Mr. Trump said, you're fired. I love that part.
He's teaching Madison to talk.
Make America great again.
People say Ron's all Trump, but he is so much more.
Big league. So good.
I just thought you should know.
Ron DeSantis for governor.
Oh, please. Now you know. Now you see what we're up against here. Yes, David.
That one woman, I think she mispronounced what she was saying. It's not doing things the right way isn't always easy. It's doing things the white way.
Yes, it is the white way. I did notice there what sounded like an elderly black woman in that ad. Paid actor. Just in case you are wondering, I promise you that no self-respecting woman of color would be working for it. Yes, Pam from San Bernardino tweeted or texted me. He is a mini Orban. Yes, he is. And then David Zapin from North Miami Beach, who's a teacher, said Ron DeSantis taught history in Georgia, learning the wrong lessons. Okay, I guess. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do now, though, is we are going to get our guest on the line. And shame on me, I didn't pull his, put his number in here. So let me grab it. It is, okay. Sorry, doing it the old-fashioned way on the phone, because our guest is Aswin Subasang. He is a reporter. He is a Capitol Hill reporter. Used to be with Daily Beast for a long time, and these days he's at Rolling Stone magazine. But he's up on the Hill, and it's hard for him to get to a computer. So we're going to get him on the phone and see how things are going up there today. It's got to be a slow time at the Capitol because both chambers of Congress are on break. Swin?
Hello.
Hey, it's Nicole Sandler calling. How you doing?
It's going great. When are we on air?
We're on the air right now. I told you I work without a producer, so I call you live on the air. So Aswin Subasang at Rolling Stone magazine these days. But you're up on the Hill, but it's got to be quite quiet up there right now, isn't it? Because isn't everybody on recess?
I am actually in beautiful, sunny Cincinnati right now.
Ohio. So you're on recess now too.
And I'm actually, where I'm sitting right now is very nearby the FBI field office that apparent Trump supporter tried to shoot up, I believe, late last week. And according to his postings on the former president's social media website, it seems like the motive was because of how angry he was at what the FBI did to his beloved former president, Donald Trump.
Oh, my God. So there are people. Now, Donald Trump today, and I read you tweeting about this as well. You can follow Swin on Twitter, at Swin, SWIN24. It's easier than typing out Aswin Subasang. But Swin, so you even tweeted that Trump said he wants to, bring the temperature down and stop, some of the heightened rhetoric out there. But then he continues to lie and talk about the FBI raiding his home and breaking into his safe and doing all these things. That is exactly ratcheting up tensions out there, right? He wants it both ways, doesn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, those comments he gave to Fox News Digital, I believe this morning, were read very clearly as if what someone would do if they wanted to do a quick PR hit so they could establish a plausible deniability or a patina of a public relations defense if someone were to try to come at them and blame him or her for, let's say, extremist violence that happened to crop up. They were very, short clip sentences that he said to the Fox News website Monday morning, where it was something to the effect of, and I'm only paraphrasing lightly here, that I have told the Justice Department whatever I and my people can do to bring down the temperature because there are a lot of angry people after this raid. Anything that I can do, I will do to help the country to bring like a couple.
You're breaking up on me.
There's that, but then you can kind of look beyond those couple of sentences to Fox News, and beyond what may be construed as a PR offensive in that respect, you can look at what he is actually doing with his actual words, his actual statement, and his actual other actions, not just him, but virtually all of his high-profile supporters and defenders within the mainstream of the Republican Party. They are fundraising off of their animus towards the FBI right now, aggressively, especially if you look at Donald Trump's political operation. They are boasting publicly about how much money they're supposedly hauling in from grassroots supporters right now following this raid. The fundraising continued almost immediately after the Cincinnati incident that I was just referencing to your listeners. There wasn't even a break that you might imagine that some other politician might make after an event like that happens, maybe tap the brakes for, I don't know, a day or two or three, maybe even 5 days a week. No. It was just flooring it and put pedal to the metal just the whole time, no matter what was going on in terms of not just violent threats from Trump's supporters, but also actual violent action, as we saw, for instance, here in Cincinnati.
Right.
And so, I mean, we could go further on this if you would like to. That's just one example.
Yeah, it's another example of Donald Trump's bullshit, because he's saying what he thinks, you know, will quell the media maybe, while he keeps ratcheting up his base, trying to get them to, what, take to the streets and wreak havoc?
Right. And look, like he said to Fox News this morning, I will do whatever I can, not just one or two things, but claiming whatever he can to bring down the temperature. If he wanted to do that, he could have started doing that starting today. He could have started doing that starting last week.
Yes.
Even. Well, it is very clear that within the past 7 days, he and his people are doing the opposite of that. It is within their financial for fundraising purposes, mm-hmm. and also to their political benefit to keep ratcheting up the tensions, talking about how they're not just coming for Trump, they're coming for you, and that this is an out of control deep state and FBI and Biden DOJ or what have you that's going after your favorite president, Donald J. Trump. Ugh, that is their message. Are they explicitly saying go out and grab a nail gun or a gun and do something about it? No, that would be very clear textbook incitement to violence from a legal perspective.
Right, and he knows how to use dog calls. He knows how to use code words. He knows how to get them going without saying take to the streets, because that's what he's done his whole life. So, Swin, let me ask you about this one. You know, he could have lowered the temperature immediately instead of calling for justice to release the warrant and the property list. He could have done it. He could have done it that very day. He had no interest in lowering the temperature. He wanted to raise the temperature. And now he's saying to have them release everything, and what's still not released is the affidavit. The affidavit, which explains the Justice Department's reasoning behind the warrant. That's what they're explaining their, what gave them, not due process, the thing that gave them cause to get a search warrant in the first place. Justice is fighting back and saying they do not want to release the affidavit. And of course, this makes Trump, you know, appear to be, look, I'm being more reasonable. I'm saying release everything. He doesn't want the affidavit released either, does he?
Well, I mean, it's clear at this moment, and when Trump is making statements like this in public, it's very hard to look at it from a standpoint of, shall we say, him executing on good faith intentions.
Yeah.
But setting that aside for a moment, look, this is a situation that he has been in many, many times before, including during his presidency. Obviously, the most prominent example of it is the months-long lead-up to the January 6th riot, and also what happened on that day immediately preceding the riot. He knew what he was doing. He knew that there were a lot of incredibly angry, very pissed off, some of them armed people.
Mm-hmm.
Who believed his lies that the 2020 election was stolen from him. He says all of this stuff about how to go to the Capitol and fight like hell.
Yep.
And then he turns around, and in the weeks and days after that horrible, deadly attack, tries to convince the world that, why are you blaming me? I told them to do things peacefully. Just because he happened to say something like one time during his speech that you need to act peacefully. As if everything else he did or said leading up to that did count. I mean, it's very hard to take a lot of this stuff seriously. It's just that the problem is that when you look at the most prominent messaging organs, not just from Donald Trump himself, but from the RNC, from the Republican centers of power on Capitol Hill, and also throughout all the other state capitals in the country, when they rally to defend Trump during stuff like this, this is the stuff they seize upon. They seize on a single adverb or a single sentence or two that he trickled out here
right.
to say, why are you blaming him for anything? Which is an absurd premise. That is a defense that a child makes when they screw up.
Right. But
it's like, oh, I had my fingers crossed behind my back.
Right. That's like Donald Trump
saying, how can you right. take anything I did seriously?
Right. Well, that's also Trump saying, I had a blanket standing order that anything I removed from the White House was automatically unclassified. Well, that's, as the old commercial went, that's not how it works. You know, and he just never learned how anything works. He just thought he could wave his magic wand and could pronounce all these top secret documents are unclassified.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Also, it's telling that how much weight that a reasonable person should put in that statement. The fact that it took days for him and his office to figure out that that was the defense they were going with.
Right.
That by the time you got to that, they were down to, I don't know, maybe their fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh iteration
yep.
of their excuses in the aftermath of the FBI raid happening at Mar-a-Lago. So if this really is what was going on, I mean, it begs the question, why didn't you just say that at the beginning? It wouldn't have made it any more of a convincing statement.
No.
But the fact that you started with, oh, the raid was a horrible attack, not just on me, but on the American people. Oh, the FBI could have planted things while they were rummaging around Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
Oh, I never didn't have any top secret classified documents there. Oh, well, I might have had them, but anything that was there, I had a magic wand that said declassify whenever I wanted to when I was the president of the United States. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, again, like, I guess from an objective standpoint, I have to take these statements seriously, if only because some of the most powerful people in the world, not just Donald Trump, but some of the most powerful people in this country on the right and in the Republican Party are running with it.
Wow.
And, and using this as something to defend their leader. We don't have to take it seriously from someone examining this from a standpoint of, oh, does this sound like bullshit or not? But the fact that this has so much purchase with not just Republican power centers, but among apparently millions upon millions of Americans and voters, I mean, that kind of paints a portrait in and of itself, doesn't it?
It really does. We're speaking with Aswin Subsang, who writes these days, covers Capitol Hill for Rolling Stone magazine. You know, you mentioned other people basically doing his bidding, and you know, Trump is in deep trouble, not only in D.C. as we're seeing all this unfold, but in New York State, where Attorney General Letitia James is going after him. In fact, the reason he wasn't at Mar-a-Lago, well, one of the reasons, I guess, is he was in New York City that day, ostensibly, or that week, to give a deposition. Of course, we now know that he pled the fifth over 440 times, something that he formally said, only the mob pleads the fifth. You only do that if you're guilty. Okay, so that happened. But he's also still has to go sit for a deposition in Georgia, something that he was scheduled to do when his first wife inconveniently died. Inconveniently, and I'll say suspiciously, but we can leave that for another day, because there are two news stories right now happening out of that Georgia case. One is Rudy Giuliani now knows that he is the subject of a criminal investigation, and Lindsey Graham, who tried to get out of it, was told by a judge, sorry, nice try, buddy, but you better get your ass here into that seat and under oath. both these things are happening, right?
Well, yeah. And first of all, I want to back up for a second. I'm not sure we need to say that she died under suspicious circumstances. Let's save more of the conspiracy theorizing for Trump and MAGA world. After all, they love doing it so much, so why not let them have their monopoly?
I gotcha. What's suspicious is where she was buried, but we can talk about that another day, too.
Oh, is that your return? Never mind. We'll talk about sometime. But if you're talking about the potential tax break, was indeed weird.
Yes.
Shall we say?
Yes.
But what you were bringing up earlier, rattling down the laundry list of investigations, civil, criminal, state, federal, multiple federal investigations into Trump and his close associates, and how a lot of these. Some of these investigations aren't even about what some of the other things are about. You have it into his business empire, his efforts to overthrow democracy in America, the top secret or classified documents probe. And there are almost too many to count right now in terms of how many high-profile, high-stakes investigations are going on into Trump and his inner orbit. And this isn't even counting the lawsuits that have piled up against him and his close associates. So it is hard to keep track of. But something I want to point out that I think is important for your listeners to keep in mind that is related to something you said a moment ago. You mentioned that he has said in the past that people who plead the fifth over and over and over again, the mob does that, suggesting or directly stating that the guilty do that. Why would you do that unless you were guilty? And then, of course, he does the exact same thing. You and I obviously do not believe that people who plead the fifth are necessarily guilty. There are legitimate reasons you can do that. But it is funny how that has boomeranged on Trump in the same way that when Trump was leader of the free world and when he was president of the United States, he broke the record that his predecessor, Barack Obama, had set for
For what? I'm sorry, you broke up. For what? Ah, we lost you. Swin, are you there? Oh, no, you're completely breaking up. This happens when we veer into delicate territory. Swin, can you hear me? No, I'm not hearing you. Well, I heard you just fine. I don't know if you moved somewhere and you got into a bad and there he goes. We lost him. Oh, man. I wanted to ask him about, the most important thing of all, which is tonight is the, Tommy Smith says, New York State Attorney General Letitia James will bring the temperature down. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We lost him, but you know what? There's a couple other things I want to get to. So Aswin Subasang from Rolling Stone magazine, covering Capitol Hill and the White House and politics, all things for Rolling Stone, and doing a good job. We'll check in with him when he's back in D.C. I did want to ask him about tonight is the series finale of Better Call Saul. Just saying. All right, we gotta get with that. So the other, that's what I did want to ask him about was that. And I'm not even going to try to reconnect because we're almost out of time and there's a couple more things I want to get to. Thank you, Aswin Subasang. Find him on Twitter at Swin24. And next time I need to get a landline for him or something. It is. Jan Morgan said Rolling Stone is a real decent rag. I think so too. And he's working there. Tim Dickinson is still there. He does great political reporting. There are some really good journalists there, and it seems like they're trying to pick it up again after Jan Wenner exited. So we'll see. All right, so a couple more things I wanted to deal with today before we leave. One is COVID is still a thing. You know, I've got these giant CD racks. I'm starting to try to get rid of things because we're going to be moving soon. And I sold my two big CD wall units this weekend. I had them built, custom built 30 years ago. And the person who came to get them graciously wore a mask. And he said, you know, I looked you up And he saw that I was a lung cancer survivor, and he thought I thought I should wear a mask. And I appreciated that because, of course, David and I wore a mask, and we do anytime somebody comes in our house. So I bring that up because you may recall it must have been about a year ago or maybe more that I played a couple of videos from a commenter, from a guy like a YouTuber, a guy who makes videos. He doesn't do it that often, but he made a number of videos about COVID that were so spot on, so good, and he's back with a new one. He records under the moniker Drew Comments, D-R-E-W, his name is Andrew, Drew Comments, and here is the new video from Drew Comments, and I'll tell you right now, you need to listen very carefully because he doesn't print a transcription on the screen. So you just have to listen. You may have to go back and listen a couple of times. I'll post this video on my blog where I post the show today too. But you can share this with friends who are bitching about getting vaccinated. Here is Drew Comments again explaining why you need to get vaccinated.
I would like an explanation to, you know, people with vaccines. Why are they still getting COVID? If that's something that we are supposed to highly be protected from.
All right. Yo. Athletes wake up 4 o'clock in the morning to lift weights, all type of condition drills, watch film on their opponent for hours just to get swept in the first round of the playoffs.
Wait, what?
Yep. All that preparation and practice just to get treated with a broom and a dustpan. All that working out don't guarantee a championship. It only increases the probability of you winning and allows you to be more competitive against your opponents. If you get scored on, lose a game, don't make the playoffs, or don't win a chip, that don't mean preparation ain't worth it. Like, why you waking up at 4 a.m.? You can still lose. Might well go on back to sleep. The sun ain't up, you don't need to be neither. That's literally what y'all sound like when y'all go against the vaccine because you might still get COVID. It's a lot less likely, but you could. But even in that situation, it ain't the same. When you vaccinated and get COVID, your immune system look like the Washington Wizards. When you unvaccinated, it look like the Washington Generals. The vaccines have three major functions: film, scout team, strength and conditioning. It shows you what the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein looks like, scout spikes to practice on, and creates neutralizing antibodies while also gaining B-cell and T-cell memory. So you're likely going to watch COVID if it show up. I got you winning by 30, my boy.
With me having COVID in the past and having antibodies.
Actually, over a third of people who recover from COVID don't get protective antibodies. And even if they do, those antibodies aren't as abundant or reliable as you get from the vaccine. That's why you see people catching it 2 and 3 times. So you caught COVID unvaccinated and got little to nothing to benefit to show for it. You took an L. It's all good. Just go get some practice in so it don't happen again. Get vaccinated.
Yeah, baby. Get vaccinated. Drew Comments. He is so good. Again, I had to listen a couple of times because I missed some of the words. But I will post the video. Share that. I'll post it on the blog, NicoleSandler.com/8-15-22. Share it widely. People still need to wear a mask. All right. One last thing. I reached out this morning to my friend Tanya, our friend in Ukraine, because the package that I sent her months ago was returned. I sent her this package, like a care package, in Dubai when she was visiting her sister there. She was there for a few months, and it sat, I guess, in the Dubai post office for months, and then they returned it to sender. So it's back here. So we communicate on the Telegram app. And so I wrote to her and I said, you know, asked her, how are things? How are you? I said, I think of you all the time, but don't want to be a pain, so I don't contact you too often. Well, Tanya wrote back. And so I want to pass along. If you heard those little dings while I was talking to Swin, that's what it was. Tanya checking back in. So here's what she wrote. Hello, my soulmate. We are fine. We live in our new mode. Learn to enjoy every day. I'm interested in sports, and I help to weave nets for the military. There were 3 sirens in the last hour. We swear loudly and go about our business. Now I will send you a video from my life. The other day, I went to first aid courses, learned how to bandage wounds if shrapnel hurts a person. As sad as it sounds, I hope to save someone's life one day. I tell you, that doesn't sound sad at all. And hold on, I can put up the video, I think, so you can see what she sent. Hold on, and I wonder if is there audio on it too? Let's see. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, it's at her first aid class is what we're seeing. They're showing how to bandage people. Okay. So that's what that is. Oh, ooh, they're showing some fake wounds. But okay, so she's showing her class. All right, I do want to play the next video though, because there was another video that she sent. That is this one, which I haven't seen yet either. So it has her walking around in Ukraine, seeing some art, apparently. Oh, wow. It looks like they're at an art gallery. I'll post both of these videos on the blog as well for anyone who wants to see them. So that's Tanya. I guess that was the whole video. And then she wrote, "We also arranged a holiday for ourselves and gathered friends and left the city with tents." Hold on. Let me get rid of this and bring me back up. "And left the city with tents. For two whole days, we were without the internet and did not watch the news. We drank delicious wine and talked a lot around the fire. It was like before February 24th. And then someone asked, what is going on in the world? Maybe they have already used nuclear weapons, but we have learned to laugh even with this." And then she said, "And in our tent city, the guy made a marriage proposal. These are our friends who were able to leave the occupied city of Kherson. We did everything in the form of a game. It was a very memorable event." And she sent more videos. So it looks like our friend Tanya is doing well and kind of rolling with the punches. And that's a good thing. Surviving at all costs. All right. Tomorrow, you know, I love the cool song parodies. Well, tomorrow, somebody who I played for you not too long ago, Roy Zimmerman, will be here. He's been doing it longer and professionally for decades, I believe. So we will meet Roy Zimmerman together, because honestly, I've never spoken to him. We traded emails and he was going to come on a week or two ago, and then he came down with COVID. So he will be here tomorrow. So we'll have a mix of fun and, of course, news to let you know the latest, whatever's happening. So I will leave you with the news. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. All right, here we go. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, it's Monday, and today marks a week since the FBI executed a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago to retrieve classified documents that the former guy illegally took with him when he left the White House for the last time. Unfortunately, his lies about the property and its seizure have inflamed his sycophantic followers. So now, the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI have issued a joint intelligence bulletin warning that they have, quote, observed an increase in threats to federal law enforcement and other law enforcement and government officials following the FBI's recent execution of a search warrant in Palm Beach, Florida. People started making threats and calling for civil war on pro-Trump internet forums immediately after the search, when FBI agents seized 11 sets of documents, some marked as sensitive compartmented information. That's one of the highest levels of government secrets. The warrant was served after one of Trump's attorneys signed a letter in June asserting that there was no more classified material at the residence. This according to two sources familiar with the matter. But a number of Republicans are questioning whether the material at Mar-a-Lago was actually highly sensitive, citing a president's powers to declassify top secret information. They're also calling on the release of the redacted affidavit that would provide more information as to why the search was necessary. Well, the agencies said they were acting out of an abundance of caution. The bulletin dated Friday warned that home addresses and other identifying information about potential targets had been circulated online. This is dangerous stuff. The federal judge on Monday turned down Senator Lindsey Graham's bid to throw out a subpoena compelling him to testify before the Atlanta area grand jury investigating Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. In related stories, I believe, on Sunday in Washington, a 29-year-old Delaware man died after ramming his car into a vehicle barrier near the Supreme Court. This happened at around 4 a.m. The man died by suicide after firing a gun into the air several times after the crash. No motive as of yet is known, but the Capitol area remains a high-profile target for extremists ever since the January 6th insurrection by Trump supporters. And that followed an incident on Thursday in which a pro-Trump veteran was killed in a shootout with police after he attempted to enter an FBI office in Cincinnati. He showed up with a nail gun first, shooting up the place, and then pulled out an AR-15-style assault rifle. But that's not all. Armed protesters also showed up outside the FBI office in Phoenix, Arizona. And wait, there's more. The synagogue, where Judge Bruce Reinhardt is a trustee, he's the federal magistrate who approved that search warrant in the first place. The synagogue had to cancel services Friday night following a vicious anti-Semitic social media attack against the judge and the synagogue. Well, there have been some attempts by people in Trump's inner circle to rein in the rhetoric since the incident in Cincinnati on Thursday. And Attorney General Merrick Garland's very forceful defense of the FBI agents and the Justice Department prosecutors involved in the probe. U.S. District Court Judge Lee Martin May wrote in a 22-page opinion rejecting Graham's effort and sending the matter back to state courts for further proceedings, quote, "The court finds that the district attorney has shown extraordinary circumstances and a special need for Senator Graham's testimony on issues relating to alleged attempts to influence or disrupt the lawful administration of Georgia's 2022 elections." So that ruling is definitely a victory for District Attorney Fannie Willis. She's the one leading that grand jury probe that resulted in the subpoena for Graham to appear for an August 23rd deposition. Investigators intend to ask Graham about two phone calls he was on with Georgia election officials at the same time that Trump was attempting to overturn his defeat. These calls included a discussion of the process for counting absentee ballots. Meanwhile, Congressman Adam Schiff and Carolyn Maloney, chairs of the House Intelligence and Oversight Committees, over the weekend called for the Director of National Intelligence to conduct, quote, an immediate review and damage assessment of Trump's actions. They wrote to DNI Avril Haines, quote, "Former President Trump's conduct has potentially put our nation's security at grave risk. This issue demands a full review in addition to the ongoing law enforcement inquiry." In other news, more weather woes or climate concerns. A flood watch is currently in place for millions of people across the southwestern part of the country after a weekend of rain and thunderstorms drenched the region. In Las Vegas, at least two people have died in flooding since last week alone in what has become the wettest monsoon season in more than a decade. In Texas, the National Hurricane Center is monitoring a disturbance that will bring thunderstorms and up to 6 inches of rain over the next few days, leading to potential flash flooding. And while the rain has brought relief to some drought-stricken areas, experts say that climate change is increasing the likelihood of extreme flooding and catastrophic disasters. And separately, another new study indicates that a disastrous mega flood is headed for California in the next four decades. And experts say it will be unlike anything anyone alive today has ever experienced. Lovely. And while we're in California, thousands of mental health therapists are set to strike there today. The unionized psychologists, therapists, chemical dependency counselors, and social workers are demanding that Kaiser Permanente, that's the nation's largest nonprofit HMO, provide what they're calling desperately needed services to its patients, claiming that some wait months for needed therapy sessions. Kaiser staffs about one full-time mental health clinician for every 2,600 members, leading to therapists leaving Kaiser at a record rate, according to the National Union of Healthcare Workers. They represent 16,000 workers in Hawaii and California alone. The strike comes as the country experiences a surge in mental health issues. WHO said the first year of the COVID-19 pandemic triggered a 25% increase in anxiety and depression globally. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports, I hope you'll check out the Nicole Sandler Show weekdays at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, right here on the Progressive Voices Network. And while you're there, remember that this show is 100% listener supported. So please click on a donate button.